First reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, starting at verse 34, to be found on page 1012. The way of the cross. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading today is taken from Second Book of Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the Church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 12, going into chapter 3, down to verse 6. Ministers of the New Covenant. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives of Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are a aroma that brings death, to the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the results of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you so much, David. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to the scriptures. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We pray, Lord, that you would give us soft hearts to receive your word, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us out to bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome, friends, and welcome to the start of a new term. A particular welcome to those who are new to Emmanuel or guests or visiting or perhaps have joined us over the summer. And if you have joined us over the last few months and you want to know what we're about as a church, it's really simple. Our vision is Jesus. We exist, we have always existed, we will always exist as a church to know him better and to make him better known. Jesus is our first priority. He's our Lord, he's our King, he's our Savior, he's our desire. All that we do, all that we are, the longing of our hearts is that Jesus would be exalted, that in our lives Jesus would be lifted high, that in everything we say he would have the glory. And we have a dream as a church family that everyone in our local area would meet him, would experience his love and be transformed as they come to know him for themselves, just as we have done. And so we want to offer ourselves to be used by Jesus in any way for him to have the glory in our lives and in his church. And here's what Jesus says about what that's going to look like, as Rowena read for us. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." Bonhoeffer, speaking about that verse, said, "When Christ calls a person, he calls them to come and die." That's what it means to take up our cross, isn't it? We follow a crucified king. And Jesus' invitation is to die to ourselves and to live for him. Who's excited about that? Are you up for it? I want to invite you this September to come and die. And here's the good news in the next sentence. Jesus says, "Because whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." That's the paradox of the gospel. In other words, dying, coming and laying our lives on the altar, dying to self, doesn't sound very attractive, does it? But it is actually, Jesus says, the path to freedom. It's the road to meaning. It's an invitation to purpose. It is, in fact, the life that we were made for, and in it are all of the longings of our hearts. But it does come at a cost. And the world says to us, the world says, find yourself. Jesus says, lose yourself and find life. That's what we sang in our action song at the beginning. What the world calls foolish, you call freedom, the joy of the Lord that comes only through death to self. And so often we experience the opposite, don't we? We become slaves to the tyranny of the urgent, and we just find ourselves living life in reactive mode, skimming the surface as we respond to the things that come at us through the day. And it's so easy to lose our focus on what matters most, just going through the motions reactively. And I know I don't want to live like that. I'm sure that you don't either. And this morning is an opportunity to reorient ourselves around Jesus, to remember who it is that we are really here for. Particularly if over the summer you found that you've got disconnected or distracted or your heart's grown cold to Jesus. There's an invitation and an opportunity this morning for us to reorient ourselves around him and give him again the priority in our lives that is rightly his. And over the next few weeks this term, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, the letter that David started reading for us this morning. And we're continuing to think about being a sent people who, in the words of our verse for the year, bring good news and declare that our God reigns as God's power works in our weakness. And 2 Corinthians is the most personal of Paul's letters. It's all about how Paul relies on God in the struggles and the suffering of his own life, and about how God uses his weakness and our weakness to bring transformation to his world. And the context is that some in Corinth are criticizing Paul, and they're pointing to his life and all of the hardships that he has to go through. And they're saying that Paul suffers too much to be a role model in the Christian life, that he can't be an example or a mature Christian because of all of the things that he's struggling with. And Paul says that it's the opposite. Paul says that it is through our weakness that God is glorified, that that's how God gets the glory, through what happens when we hit up against all the roadblocks and the trip hazards of life. And it's not a continuous flow as a book. It's 2 Corinthians is the letter with lots of asides, and it's kind of and another thing and another thing. So over the term, we're going to have several small focuses. And this month in September, we're in chapters 3 to 5, which are all about the ministry of the new covenant, which means how God's Spirit uses us in God's mission. And you can see the passage for this morning summed up in verse 14. So do you have it open or look to the screens? And verse 14 says, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives." Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives. Something's not working. Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Paul's opponents are saying that Christian leaders should look strong and prosperous and flourishing. Paul says Christian leadership is like being a slave, because we're following a crucified king. We're following the one who said, "Whoever would be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." And so we expect to suffer. But our suffering isn't without purpose. Paul says that we exist to point to Jesus, that we exist for his glory. And the image here is of a Roman emperor riding in triumph through the streets of ancient Rome after victory in battle. And he'd dress in ceremonial clothes, and he'd paint his face red in ceremonial war paint, and he'd ride in a chariot, and the army would all march behind him, and the Senate would march in front of him. And then there'd be this parade of floats with all of the gold and the treasure that he'd won on campaign. And then would follow these floats with the scenes of the greatest hits of his battles and lots of scenes of him conquering different enemies. And then at the end of the procession, and the whole city would turn out to watch it, would come the captives. And here's the point. In a Roman triumph, the captives would march at the end so that the people of Rome could look at them and think, "What a savior we have. Look how he's conquered all these foreign kings. What a victory our Lord has won." And so with us. Paul says that we're like captives marching behind our victorious Lord and Savior so that everyone might look at us and say, "What an amazing savior. What a great God, beautiful Jesus, glorious Jesus, powerful Jesus. Look how he is exalted in the lives of these average people." Paul says that Christianity isn't riding on a chariot and taking the glory. Christianity is walking the way of the cross and pointing with all our words and all our actions and choices at the great and glorious King who has triumphed over death for us. Because Jesus has won the victory. That's why we gather each Sunday morning to celebrate that he has risen from the grave. The glory is his. It's not ours. He has won the victory. On the cross, he's triumphed over all the powers of this world. He rules over all things. He reigns from the throne of heaven. Jesus is Lord. And all glory and honor and power are his. And we exist, Corinthians tells us, to point to his glory. And then Paul goes on, and he says, we're not just slaves for him. More than that, we are sacrifices. Sacrifices that God uses to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. And he's picturing the Old Testament temple and the priests sacrificing animals on the altar and bringing their incense and the scent of the incense, the fragrance rising up to the heavens as worship to God. But here the sacrifices aren't animals. Here the sacrifice is our hearts. Hearts on fire with love for God. Hearts that are devoted to Jesus and his lordship. Lives that are laid on the altar for his glory. And the aroma, the fragrance, is the outward expression of that devotion in our hearts. The words and the actions that our intimacy with God produces when carried out to the world in mission. We are presence carriers. Paul says that we get to smell of Jesus. I'd love that to be said of me. I don't know if you want that to be said of you, that you smell of Jesus. And verses 15 and 16 say we're not responsible for the result of that. Verse 15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we're an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. We are the pleasing aroma of Jesus to God in heaven. That's our desire, to please him, for our lives just to reflect honor and glory to him. But when people meet us and experience Jesus in our lives, they'll go one of two ways. Some will meet Jesus in us. They'll experience the aroma of life, and they'll come and they'll receive his love for themselves. Others will meet Jesus in us and they'll reject him, and they'll turn away and spend eternity without God. And that's not our desire, and it's not God's desire, but it is what free will means. And the encouragement here is it's not our responsibility what anyone else chooses to do with the hope that we offer. As Billy Graham always said, it's God's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And it's my job to love. Our job is to love. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. And to live lives of joyful surrender to the glory of God as we love people towards Jesus. So that the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus might fill every space that we enter, so that our homes might be different because of how we reflect his love, so our workplaces might be different because of how we carry his presence, so that our relationships change, so that the whole of Guildford is changed as we carry the presence of God with us wherever we go, and that everyone we love might find the love of their Heavenly Father. Stephen Bartlett has a podcast called the Diary of the CEO podcast, and he interviewed John Lennox on it over the summer. Some of you might have seen the episode. But he interviews leaders from around the world, and particularly he started interviewing several Christians. He interviewed Wes Huff, who's a Christian apologist, a few months ago, and John Lennox just a couple of months ago. And he was basically saying, persuade me to be a Christian. Prove it. Try and persuade me to convert and follow your religion. And they had this conversation. And then at the end, Stephen Bartlett said this. He said of the Christian leaders that he'd interviewed, and particularly he named Wes Huff and John, who he was speaking to, he says, there's a certain peace and contentment you carry, which I find the most compelling argument for God. Wasn't any of the words, though the words were interesting and they had a great debate and you can watch it. It's what they carried, because Wes and John, they carry the presence of God. I mean, if you meet them, you see that in their lives, in their face, the peace that they carry, because they're walking with Jesus. And the Lord says we can have the same thing, that we can carry the presence of God to point all those we meet to his love. And that's intimidating, which is why Paul says in the next verse, who's equal to such a task? Who is sufficient for this? Well, the answer is none of us, and that's the good news. And in verse 5, he answers his question. He says, not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, who's worthy of carrying God's presence like this? Not me, not you, no one. Who's able to do this? None of us. But Jesus, but the gospel. Jesus has made you a minister of his covenant by his Spirit. In other words, even though you and I could never do this in our own strength, Jesus has washed you in his blood. He's raised you to new life. He's adopted you as his child. He's filled you with his presence. And now he lives in you. And as you offer your life as a sacrifice to him, he is going to use you for his glory. It's the promise of the gospel. He's going to use you to point to him. He's going to use you actually to set others free and to minister this good news that so changed our lives to those that we love. I know I want that. Do you want that for your own life? Because this is Jesus' desire for you. But how often do we settle for less? Because we get trapped by going through the motions. We get so concerned with the worries of today, the little deadlines, the relational pressures, the to-do list, all the distractions of this life. And our hearts grow hard and cold. We grow cold to Jesus, our beautiful Savior, the price he paid to set us free. And we grow cold to his world, the men and women that Jesus loves, the world that Jesus died to save. And we are the body of Christ. We are God's master plan for the salvation of the world. We're like captives in his triumph, pointing to him. We're like the aroma in the temple, spreading his love. And God's heart breaks for his world. The love of God, no one can get to the bottom of. No one can fathom the depths of his love. And as you grow closer to him, we grow more loving because we share his heart for his world. Have you experienced a broken heart for the men and women of this world, for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends, for your workplace? Do you know the Lord's burden for these men and women who are living lost because they do not know him? Men and women, Jesus died to save. Has Jesus broken your heart for his glory and his world? That's where we start this morning, coming to our glorious Savior, standing in his triumph, celebrating his victory, and asking him to break our hearts with his love and to make us living sacrifices so that the aroma of our lives might rise to the heavens and that the whole of the world might be changed. And here's a first step, because that's a big vision and that's the whole purpose of the scriptures and the people of God around the world. Where do we begin today? Well, we have a discipleship pathway here at Emmanuel, which is our attempt to make following Jesus simple. You can pick one up at the back if you don't already have them. And on there, we've got 9 practices, which are the teaching of the scriptures for how we follow Jesus. And this month, we're just going to spotlight the one that's called witness. That practice is about how we offer our lives to point to Jesus. And there's 3 parts there. To pray each day for 5 friends to come to faith, to seek opportunities to share our story, and to invite those who don't know Jesus to come and see as they come to church or Alpha. So on the chairs, we've got our Pray for 5 cards. If you've been in Emmanuel for a long time, you've probably been doing this for several years. If you're new and just joining, then do take one of these cards home. If you need to recommit yourself because you've lost your card or you need to recommit to it, then take one of these home. And the idea is we just write on here the name of 5 of our friends and family who we love, and we commit to praying for them every day and saying, Lord, I love these people. Would you reveal your love to these people that I love? And as we pray each day and ask the Lord to break into the lives of those we love with his love, he changes our hearts and he starts to give us more of his love for his world and to give us opportunities to be used by him as we do that. And just think if we all did that, if a few hundred of us here in Guildford, if we prayed every day for 5 of our friends and family to meet Jesus, and if we invited them to come and see and looked for opportunities to share our story, we would see so many lives changed. And that is our dream, to see hundreds of men and women encounter Jesus and be transformed. And of course, this is not comfortable, is it? It's very uncomfortable, in fact. And we'd rather not, if we're honest, many of us. And if we were living for ourselves, we wouldn't, because it's much more comfortable not to look to the needs of the world. It's much easier to focus on ourselves. But that's not what we're doing. We're living for him. Our lives are on the altar. We are living sacrifices because he's died for us and commissioned us and called us ministers of his new covenant. And he sent us in his strength, filled by his spirit, overflowing with his love, to live and work to his praise and glory. Many of you will know of Corrie ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor. We hear her story of forgiveness on the Alpha videos. And as she lay dying, she prayed this beautiful prayer. She prayed, whatever will bring you most glory, Lord. If it's your will to heal me so that I can continue to live and to minister and preach and to do work for you for years to come, then heal me and I'll give my life and I'll continue to serve you. And if it will bring you more glory to take me home now to go and be with you in heaven, then do that. But all I want with my life is to bring you glory, because Corrie had been grabbed by the love of a Savior who had transformed her life and healed her heart and used her to transform many others. That's the prayer for my prayer for my life. I wonder if you're willing to pray it this morning, because it's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Whatever will bring you most glory, Lord. If that means suffering, I will suffer. If that means hardship, I'll take it. If it's what I want, then great. If it means not what I want, then I want you to have the glory in my life. Because we're like captives following in his procession. We're like sacrifices bringing fragrance to God. We exist for him. We live for him. We long for him. All that we want is Jesus to be lifted high. And so we pray, Lord, in my life, whatever will bring you most glory, that's all I desire. The world says, be your own master. But Jesus says, become a slave. The world says, climb higher. But Jesus says, take up your cross. The world says, put yourself first. Jesus says, lose yourself and live for him and his glory. As we gaze on him, our beautiful Saviour, our crucified King. Would you stand with me as we do that now and the band come back? And for those who are new, we just take a couple of minutes of quiet to give God the space to do what his word teaches by his Spirit in our hearts. You might find it helpful to hold out your hands as a symbol of being open, of wanting to receive from the Lord, because we are expectant when we come into his presence. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, lead us to Jesus. Come Spirit of the living God, pour out your love in our hearts, for we need you. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Would you melt our hearts again as we see your love for us? Some of us here, our hearts have grown cold. We don't share the Lord's compassion for the lost. And we just say, sorry, Lord, we're sorry that my heart's grown cold. Would you melt my heart again with your love? We were praying before the service. We felt the Lord say that there would be one young man here this morning who's felt disconnected over the summer and is seeking connection, and that's to be found not just in people but in connection with God. And if that's you, the Lord is inviting you this morning to discover his love for yourself, to be reconnected to the one who made you. And for all of us, there is an invitation this morning to pray that dangerous prayer like Corrie. Whatever would bring you most glory, Lord. I'll lay my life down. Whatever would bring you most glory. You can pray that now also as we come to the Lord's table. I invite you to as you receive communion this morning, both to thank the Lord for his death for you, but also to use it as a time of consecration and say, Lord, I give myself to you at the start of this new year. Whatever would bring you the most glory, I give you it all. Come, Holy Spirit.